Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. Romans, the 13th chapter, the 7th verse. You know, it admonishes us, you all, to give honor to whom honor is due. Sometimes, you know, we wait until someone is gone before we give them their due honor. Then it's too late, y'all, for them to appreciate our appreciation. Most of the times, y'all, people are gone before we honor them properly. How sad. But the same thing, y'all, is often true when it comes to honoring our veterans of the armed forces. Y'all, most are gone before we ever give them their significant tribute. And we know, y'all, that can be unavoidable at times because we're all aware that your war is a killing field. But you'll listen to the story about a veteran, y'all, who kept a nearly 60-year-old promise to an army buddy. There is the story of a friendship forged during one of the worst battles of World War II and a promise made almost 60 years ago when the event occurred. A promise that was finally kept Thursday, August the 2nd, 2001. Harold Huggins, a veteran of 10 major campaigns in World War II and the last survivor of his battalion, traveled halfway across the country by train on one last mission in memory of his best buddy. I had this on my mind for 57 years, trying to locate his sister and loved ones out there in California, says Huggins. Part of him lives in me. Huggins, from Albany, Illinois, and Mac McClain, from Marysville, California, were best friends in the Army. They wound up together at Anzio Beach, Italy, scene of one of the bloodiest battles of World War II. Mac had a premonition that he wouldn't make it out of there alive, so he gave Harold some mementos, a belt, some photos, and he said, "Give this to my sister. Tell her that I love her," Huggins recalled. "You can give her a kiss for me." Harold promised if anything happened to Mac, he would do what he was asked. One day later, Mac was killed in an artillery barrage. After the war, Harold, he looked for Mac's sister, but he never found her until Harold's daughter sent out emails to various veteran groups. Some California vets found Mac's sister, Grace, whose last name changed when she married. "We were always hoped and prayed that we'd meet someone who would tell us about Mac," says Grace, Thursday, August the 2nd, at the place where his buddy's name is graved in marble at the Veteran Memorial in Marysville, California. Harold Huggins, yo, he kept that promise he made 57 years ago, meeting Mac's sister for the very first time and giving her that kiss that Mac asked Harold to deliver, turning over those mementos from his fallen friend. For an old soldier who wouldn't give up his search for a buddy's long-lost sister, there's a feeling of mission accomplishment. I like that. My brothers and sisters, your Harold Huggins story is a story all of undying devotion, love, and commitment. It is the kind of devotion and commitment that should be seen in the lives of those who commit themselves to their spiritual commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is also the kind of devotion and commitment that we should have to one another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank God for Harold Huggins and his dedication. Now you all today. Yo, we want to honor you all, our armed service veterans. I mean, may God bless you for serving our country, protecting us from the seen and unseen forces that desire to steal our liberties. We want to also, you all, thank God for these veterans that I like to talk about tonight. And that's another kind of veteran. You know, this is the veteran in God's army. You know, this evening, I want to talk to you all and take a look at a grand old veteran of the faith. You know, we're talking about this evening, Enoch. You know, we remember Enoch, don't we? You know, Enoch, we're going to look at his draft, Enoch's devotion, Enoch's duty, and Enoch's demise. Your son, yo, he said to his father, "Here's my report card, Dad, along with one of yours that I found in the attic." Yo, the dad, he looked it over, and he said, "Well, son, you're right. This old report card of mine, it doesn't look any better than yours." The son smiled. The father then said, "I guess you're the only fair thing for me to do is to just give you what my father gave me." Fatherhood. I mean, yo, what can we say about it? I mean, it's a very responsible position, or so it should be. And most men who become fathers, yo, we begin to realize this. Genesis 5, 21, 22. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. After he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Yo, we get the impression, y'all, from these verses that Enoch, y'all, he didn't begin to walk with God until after he became a father. Sad to say, y'all, this is true, y'all, for many men. You see, y'all, many of us, we don't think about our relationship with God until after we become fathers. Fatherhood, y'all, it often makes us think more clearly, y'all, or more spiritually at times. I mean, not for all, but for most. Fatherhood, y'all, it is an awesome responsibility. And it may be, y'all, that Enoch, y'all, he did not get drafted, y'all, in the Lord's army until he was 65 years old. That is, y'all, he didn't, y'all, wake up to his relationship with God until he was 65 years old. Sometimes, y'all, it takes men even longer than 65 years to wake up. Y'all, I personally, y'all, witnessed several men in their 80s. Y'all, one old gentleman named John, y'all, he told me, y'all, that he was somewhat ashamed of himself. I mean, having waiting that long to decide to follow the Lord. He said, yo, he had wasted most of his life. And he had. Old John, yo, he lived about, yo, 6 months after being baptized. But during that time, yo, he lived, yo, as best he could. I mean, he was always at church, always had a smile, always had a good word for people. My brothers and sisters, please don't wait too long to get drafted into the Lord's army. I mean, don't play around with your life. I mean, doing, you know, your own thing. And then you'll decide when you're, what, 50 or 60 or 70. I mean, to do something about giving your life to Christ. I was 20 years old when I made, you know, my public appearance and confession of my Lord and Savior, and I was baptized into him. But I promise you all, I mean, despite our reality that at that point of making that decision, you know, we may feel that we're not righteous enough to be a member of the body of Christ, but I assure you all, that reality will transform, you know, as we strive to deal with the conclusion of boot camp. So let us not wait, y'all, until later in life to decide for the Lord. I mean, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and you want him to save you and govern your life, well, then let him do it now. I mean, be a disciple. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 2nd verse, Peter said, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Y'all, the sooner we get involved in the Lord's army, the better off we will be. You know, it pays to be in the Lord's army. Number 2, Enoch's devotion. You're her one fine spring Sunday morning. You're a priest. Well, he was gazing out of the window at a nearby stream that held many trouts. Today would be a great day to sneak away and go fishing, he thought. The weather was perfect. Y'all, his fly rod had new line. He had very recently heard about a report of a good trout run. And the associate priest, well, he was more than ready to handle the mass. So within minutes, the mass was underway, and the priest was quietly sneaking out the back door, rod and net in hand, headed upstream. But he didn't go unobserved. An angel was watching his every move, and he went straight to God. The priest lied so that he could sneak away and go fishing, the angel reported to God. Smiling, God said, so he finally decided to give in to temptation. The angel nodded. Should I alert the congregation, Lord, and allow them to be able to catch him? No, give him complete privacy, God said. Should I command the fish to avoid him so he gets skunked and catches nothing? He asked the Lord. No, God said calmly. We want the priest to catch something. In fact, command the largest trout in the stream to take the bait and give the priest the fight of his life. Confused but loyal, the angel did as God instructed, and within minutes, the priest had hooked a massive trout. The fight was spectacular. The priest was using every trick in his fishing playbook. He loosened the drag so that the giant fish could run and not snap the line. He slowly walked the bank, up one end and down the other, allowing the huge fish freedom and time to tire out. Finally, after an exhausting 10-minute ordeal, the massive trout cruised into the shallow shore, and the priest proudly scooped him into the net. The angel quickly turned to God. Shall I make a hole in the net so that the fish is released? No, God said calmly. The priest will release the fish. What? The angel said, shocked. The priest lands the biggest fish in the stream by far, the biggest catch of his life. And forgive me, God, but you actually expect him to release it? Smiling knowingly, God assures the angel, the priest is supposed to be in church. I mean, he can't carry the giant fish into mass, and he certainly can't talk about it to anyone. You're the moral of the story is that, you know, we all have things, you know, that we like to do, things that we're completely devoted to, such as hunting or fishing or watching football, basketball, shopping. But Enoch, he was a man who was completely devoted to his God. Your Genesis 5:22. Enoch walk with God. You know, with whom do we walk? And where do we walk? Enoch, he walked with God. I'm sure, you know, he walked with God daily, hourly, constantly. You know, there was a constant communion between Enoch and God, like that of best and most loving friends. And they were. You know, this is what your Christianity and occupation with Christ is all about. In a sense, your Enoch, he could read God's mind, because your Enoch's mind Well, it was on God all the time. Enoch walked with God. Yo, what about us? I mean, how devoted are we to him? Number three, Enoch's duty. You're a Presbyterian deacon. He once asked you, one of Campbell's grandsons, if he intended to become a preacher like his grandfather, his father, and his uncles. All of the Morgan's four sons, they went into the ministry. "No, sir," said the boy. "I'm going to work." I realize, that many people, they think that preaching, is not work. But, for the veteran of faith like Enoch, Enoch was a worker. His work, his duty, it was that of preaching. He was a prophet of God who preached the message of God. He didn't compromise. He didn't negotiate, nor did he dilute the word of God for anyone. Jude 14:15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. "See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of the ungodly of all of the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all of the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." One Sunday, Miss Kelvin Coolidge, though she was sick and she stayed home from church. Well, President Coolidge, he went to church by himself. But when he returned home, his wife asked, "What the minister preached about?" The president said, "Sin." "Well, what did he say about sin?" she asked. The president said, "He was against it." Enoch, he was against sin. He was also preaching about sin and against sin. And also about the judgment of God. Enoch, John Wesley, he thought, that preaching, it should be either something that converted people or make them mad. That will probably be the kind of preaching that Enoch did. He either, convicted the people or he made them mad. Enoch's duty, it was that of serving the Lord through preaching. We have a duty to perform as well. As veterans, of the faith, we all have a duty to perform. Have we discovered our duty? Have we figured out, what God wants us to do for him? We don't knock on the door and try our hand at something. We'll never find out how God wants us to serve. But be assured, however, that he does want us to do something. I mean, to do our duty. Number four, Enoch's demise. A bank in Burlington, New York. They had some flowers sent to a competitor who had recently moved into a new building. There was a mix-up at the flower shop. In the card that was sent with the arrangement, it said, "With our deepest sympathy." The florist who was guilty, he was embarrassed. He apologized. But he was even more embarrassed when he realized, that the card that was actually supposed to go to the bank, it was attached, to the floral arrangement that was sent to the funeral home in honor of the deceased person. That card, it read, "Congratulations on your new location." Enoch got a new location, but he didn't get it the way we will get it. Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Wow. Am I reading this scripture right? Is it true, that Enoch never experienced death? Here's how the story is of a little girl is when she describes the story of Enoch. She puts it like this. She says, after hearing this in big presentation, she said, one in Sunday school, this is where she learned this story, the little girl, she said, Well, it seems like every day, God, he would come by and he would say to Enoch, Enoch, would you like to walk with me? And Enoch, he would come out of his house and he'll go down to the gate and he'd go walking with God. He got to the place where he enjoyed it so much that he'd be waiting at the gate every day to see God. Well, every day when God come by, God would say, Enoch, would you like to take a walk? And then one day God came by and he said, Enoch, let's take a long walk. I have a lot to tell you. So they walked and they walked and they walked. Finally, Enoch said, it's getting late in the afternoon, Lord. I better get back home. And God said to him, Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. So you come on home with me. And so Enoch went home with God. You're out of the mouth of babes. I mean, what a wonderful word picture, y'all, of the story of Enoch. Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed to men to die. You know, the important thing for all of us to remember in light of our demise, you know, is preparation. You know, how do a person, you know, prepare properly for death? Well, there is only one way, and his name, you know, is Jesus. I mean, even though your Enoch is long gone, you know, he's still speaking to us today. Not much in scripture about Enoch, but that which was said, y'all, is very powerful. You know, he was a true veteran of the faith. You know, I've attended, y'all, a lot of funerals in my lifetime, and I've noticed, y'all, that on occasions, y'all, some thoughtful family members, y'all, they will place something in the hand of the deceased that is a memorial to their life. I mean, it may be a picture or a keepsake, a flower, a book, a Bible, or something else. You know, when we leave this world, you know, what will someone put in our hands as a memorial to our life? You know, will we be remembered, you all, for our faith in Christ or for something else? Only one life will soon be gone. Again, y'all, we all say this evening in heart, Happy Veterans Day to our armed service members. And the same honor, y'all, to our spiritual veterans. You'll let us all, y'all, continue to walk with God, y'all, as we answer our call to duty. And may God bless you. May God keep you is our prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.